Welcome to this Monday edition of One Bills Live. Maddie Glab here, filling in for Chris Brown all week alongside my friend. You guys know him from WGR, the Bills beat reporter and sideline reporter. It's Sal Capaccio. He will also be filling in all week, so you guys are stuck with us. Good thing, bad thing, you can decide what it is, but we're excited to be here on a Monday afternoon. Sal, I know you've been doing the radio all morning, so everybody gets a heavy dose of Sal this week.
Well,
I like it. I'm a fan of it.
I appreciate that. Thank you. So if you're Chris, I'm Steve, I guess. That's how we're going to do this, right?
Let's do it that way.
All right, I got to run
down.
We can do
our best impersonations throughout the week. You guys can wait for that.
Just don't ask me to block a kick, all right, because that might hurt a little bit on the hands as you go. You know, people say all the time, and I do, sometimes I'm on, I normally host the Extra Point show on WGR in 10 to 12, but this week's a little different. People are shuffling vacations this time of year. I'm on the morning show in here, and I get asked all the time, like, well, how do you do it? I'm like, I talk for a living.
I
can talk all day long, and of course can talk about the Buffalo Bills. But it's good to be. We've never done a show together.
I know we haven't,
and I'm super excited to be able to do this with you this week.
Yeah.
So it's going to be awesome.
We
and
get
fun.
To work alongside each other. I mean, there's so many different people that cover the Bills, and it's incredible to think about like how many people you get to see every day once we're in season, but also how many people you like haven't actually worked right next to. So I'm excited to have you on the show this week. Excited to talk about some Buffalo Bills. We've got a nice show here on Monday, guys. We're going to have Sam Acho on at 1 o'clock. He's an ESPN NFL analyst. They were talking Bills on ESPN at 1:30. So we'll have him on in just a half an hour here. He had some great things to say about the Buffalo Bills, about Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. So we'll get into that. He also has a new book out, so we'll ask him about that as well. We've got a Twitter question that's out for you guys to reply to or give us a call here at 803-0550. Our Twitter question for the day is, what's the one move the Bills made this offseason that will help Josh Allen the most? So Sal and I will share our answers a little later, but did you do anything fun this weekend? I mean, this is the time where we actually get our weekends. We can take vacations.
Yeah.
We can hang out. Not as crazy of a schedule. Maybe it's crazy for you because you've been on the radio so much.
I have, and I have an 8-year-old, so it makes it crazy as it is. And he's super into sports. He loves his Bills so much. He is the biggest diehard 8-year-old Bills fan and Sabres fan you'll ever meet in your life. It's amazing. It's awesome. And he just started travel baseball, and he came time to pick numbers, and he kept going through the Bills players' numbers, and it's baseball. But he's like, I want 17, or I want 14, right? And it's like, no, that one's taken, that one's taken. So I don't know. I think we had to settle for something that wasn't taken. I think we went baseball route. I think he's 5, Joe DiMaggio, there. So it's okay, right?
Not too bad. Yank.
No, nothing bad there at all. Watch the Masters, obviously. That was very cool. And I tell you, the highlight, I say that in jest a little bit, of my weekend might have been Maddie. Sometimes you tweet something and you don't know that people are going to be like, it's a random thing and it becomes a really big deal. This has happened to me. So I did this, all right? I tweeted this week. I don't get heartburn a lot. I said, whenever I get heartburn, I take a small piece of raw ginger, like the ginger root, and I eat it, like literally like a thumbnail maybe, not even big.
Yeah.
Takes it away completely. It's gone. And now I have like hundreds of replies of people telling me like, that's great, or try this or try that. All these different recipes and remedies. And I'm like, it's not even a sports tweet. It's a heartburn ginger tweet. And you never know what people care about that they're going to want to talk to you about. It's incredible.
Maybe we need to start like a wellness segment with Sal.
There you go.
Just eat some ginger if you have an upset stomach.
That's exactly right. The ginger root. So that's what we do.
That's too funny. Well, I spent all weekend moving and I've got a funny story to go along with moving. I feel like my family has really bad luck all the time. So we call it the Glab curse because something usually always goes wrong at, the worst times possible. So I have my car packed with stuff to move. And I pull into the driveway. So I'm finishing packing everything up and I move it from, it was parked on the street to the driveway. So I move it like literally 50 feet, turn the car off, finish packing up, try to turn the car on. The car will not turn on and it is packed to the gills with a bunch of stuff. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? I'm moving. I need to move this car 2 blocks away to move into an apartment and the car won't start. So we try and jump it with the U-Haul. It won't start. I'm like, oh my gosh. And mind you, I just got an oil change a couple days ago, and the guy who did the oil change was like, hey, you probably need a new battery. It's going to die soon. And here I am like, oh, I'll deal with it in a couple weeks. So I'm like, oh, the battery's gone. It's dead. So AAA comes. They jump my car, and he's like, yeah, you might want to get a new battery. It might start again, but if you turn it off, I don't know what's going to happen. So mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to bite the bullet and go get a new battery. So in the middle of moving, I had a nice 2-hour pause to go get a new car battery, which while I was doing that, there were like two other people also getting car batteries on Saturday afternoon. So a lot of people had a great Saturday afternoon.
So let me ask you, you and I actually live in the same area. We're both in the city, though.
Yep.
We're both in the city. On my street, I live on a one-way street, and it's literally like park on the left on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh, my gosh.
On the right on Thursday, Friday. Do you have anything like that, or are you okay?
Yes, we have on one side of the street you can park. On the other side, you cannot park.
All the time?
I think it's all the time. I haven't read the street signs that in depth yet. I need to get accustomed to that because I'll be parking on the street.
So, like, literally this morning, like you said, I'm on the morning show, and, like, during one of the breaks, I had to run downstairs and move my car from one side of the street to the other because I did not want to get ticketed, and that's what happened. So I was thinking about, as you're telling the story, I'm like, if that goes into a couple of days and you leave your car there, you're talking about getting, you know, tickets just simply because you're parked on the wrong side of the street.
Oh, it's so annoying. I've gotten, you know, we all get our fair share of tickets, I'm sure. I got my fair share right when I moved to Buffalo a few years ago, trying to, you know, learn the lay of the land,
learn what
you can and can't do, where you can and can't park, where they decide to give tickets, where they don't decide to give tickets. So hopefully I don't get too many tickets.
Car's okay now, though? You're good?
Car is okay. It's running now, so hopefully it continues to run.
Yes.
Did you watch all of the Masters? Did you just tune in on Sunday? How do you like to watch the Masters?
So I was into watching Tiger. I'm a big Tiger fan. Okay. I was into watching Tiger. I try to catch as much on Thursday, Friday, Saturday as I can. Like, but I know that there's just too much going on. I know that that's kind of not going to be possible. Sunday, if I can, any major, I want to sit down and watch it, but it just never works out. Well, guess what? Yesterday was a little bit more like that. What happened was my wife, Yana, she's actually out of town on work, so I had Max all day, but his friend wanted him to come over and play, so his mom said, sure. So I said, I'm going to take a couple hours. Right? It was just a couple hours. And I literally put my feet up and I watched the Masters from, you know, the beginning. And then when I went and got Max and brought him back, he was doing some stuff. He was playing in his room and I was able to. So I did watch it. I think I watched at least one shot of every hole with the leaders, which I never get a chance to do. And I saw the chip in on three from Scheffler. Amazing.
That was wild.
It was amazing. And then how about Rory? And from the bunker, and right after that, Morikawa. So I got a chance to watch it. You know, all I asked for on Sunday, I think a lot of us do, is drama. We didn't have a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was cool watching
Scottie
Scheffler.
We had a couple great
win.
Shots. It was cool watching Scottie Scheffler win. I love the emotion and in his post-game, not post-game, post-Masters interview that he did where he was like, I was in tears this morning. The pressure, the stress, it was way too much. He ends up winning the Masters. Awesome to see. Also hilarious that he four-putted the last hole.
Amazing.
That's basically how I putt any hole when I golf. I'm a double bogey and triple bogey queen. I need to get to the driving range soon as it starts to get warmer because I like to golf. I'm not that good. I'm really good off the tee box and in the fairway. But once I get to the green, it all falls apart. I don't have the patience when I'm putting, so it usually ends up four putting, five putting every hole.
I'll tell you a quick funny story. I know we'll get to football here in a second. So I'm friends with, and I used to, when I was down in Florida, I was a high school teacher. I was a coach. And one of the guys I coached with, the golf coach there, was a former pro golfer. And his name is Doug Dunicky. And he's one of the only people to ever shoot a 59 on a tour.
Jeez.
He shot a 59. And he was on the Nike tour, the Nationwide, you know, the one that the right before. Mm-hmm. It's a pro tour, but it's just kind of step below. Anyway, he told me a story. He said, Sal, he said, I was putting for 57. And I'm like, what? I said, you get nervous? And he said, no. What happened was he's walking up the green and all these people are coming out to watch. This is just history. It's amazing. He said, I was standing over it, and my mind started to think about sponsorships.
Oh, no.
Heinz 57, 57 Chevy. He said, and I hit it, and it went all the way down the hill, and I had to go back again. And so he went 58, 59. It was amazing.
Jeez.
So I can see that. You're sitting over the putt, and you're like, what's your mind thinking? I don't know what Scheffler was thinking because he had it wrapped up at the time.
Yeah, he had it wrapped up. He was ahead by so much. Yes. But good to see him win. Love that. It was his, I pulled up this tweet, his fourth win in a 57-day span, which is incredible for somebody to have a 57-day span like that in the game of golf. It's amazing. Not easy to win in golf. No. It's very hard. These guys are so good at the sport. Watching them makes you want to play like that, even though you know you never will be able to because you are not on the tour. You are just a fan of the sport. So good to see Scottie Scheffler win the Masters. We do have a caller. Before we get into some football stuff, I think DJ is on the line. He wants to talk about a moving story. So why not get our Monday kicked off with some moving stories? DJ, you're on with us. Please share maybe a similar story to moving.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, yeah. We got you.
Awesome. So, yeah, a couple of years ago, I was actually moving back from New York City to Buffalo. The ex-girlfriend of mine at the time, and we lived on a fourth-floor walk-up in Astoria, Queens. So we rented a big U-Haul. You know, we were moving our two-bedroom apartment back to Buffalo. I had it packed up full. About 2 hours into packing, we actually realized how much it was. So we were able to find some last-minute movers to kind of help us. And while all of that was happening and they were loading up the truck, there was actually a bunch of my clothes and all of my sneakers ended up being thrown out in the trash. And I didn't realize it until we actually got back to Buffalo. So once we kind of got all the everything packed up and ready to go, what I was listening to earlier, I couldn't help but sit there and smile and laugh just because we went to go start the U-Haul. And a U-Haul was, you know, dead as a nail. Just wouldn't start. Oh, nothing would happen. And mind you, like I said, we lived in Queens. So, you know, it's just a single lane of traffic down our street. There's parking on both sides. The only option was for them to try and come and initially try and jump the U-Haul or, you know, eventually tow it if need be. You know, my worst thought was, oh, gosh, we're going to have to unpack this truck, pack a new one. You know, we can't sleep here because it's the 31st. We have to be out tonight and the new people moving tomorrow. So luckily the tow truck came by, blocked off traffic for maybe 20 minutes. That was a hassle. Cars peeping everywhere. And
oh my gosh.
Thankfully they were able to get the U-Haul jumped and we were able to get on the road and, you know, just pulled over and fell asleep at a truck stop and didn't turn the car off the entire way back to Buffalo. But it was definitely a big hassle. But was really happy to be back home and glad that we made it safe.
DJ, I feel your pain. Thanks for the call. And hopefully we don't have to go through any moves like that anymore. I can't imagine getting some.
I mean, that's just become so stressful. And every minute that goes by, it's just like.
And imagine trying to block off a street. Oh, my gosh. That was, like, my worst worry, too, is, like, am I going to get this stuck in the middle of the street? Should I unpack my car? Is this car going to have to get towed? I don't want the guy who is towing the car to have to wait for me to unpack everything. So, you know, moving can be just a bunch of drama. But
yes,
thankfully, everything else went smooth. Let's see. What else happened this weekend? Something that was absolutely devastating, heartbreaking. I know everybody heard the news of Dwayne Haskins passing away. He was training in Florida, and he got struck by a car on the highway, a dump truck, actually. I mean, the Masters are on. You're watching the Masters. We had ESPN on. We are watching Masters coverage, getting things ready to be moved. And you see SportsCenter start to break in with this coverage. And at first I read the tweet and it said Dwayne Haskins something in Florida. And I just thought it was a tweet about Dwayne Haskins and his teammates being down in Florida training because, you know, a lot of guys are training together right now who are on the same team. And he was down there training. And I didn't read the rest of the tweet. And then I saw the coverage on SportsCenter. And I was like, what? I couldn't believe it. I mean, he was 24. Terrible to happen, to see the outpouring support and love from friends, from teammates, the tweets that everybody had. It seemed like he was just an incredible person, just a wonderful teammate, somebody who was a light to be around, somebody who the Pittsburgh Steelers were really excited to have on their team to see what he could do. He was training with Mitch Trubisky. He was actually staying with Mitch Trubisky. Everybody said that I don't follow him on social media, but a lot of people said that he had been posting that week just about training with some of his teammates. I saw a video that was on social media of Najee Harris was all dressed up, and Dwayne Haskins was kind of saying, oh, Najee, you're looking good, and all that Burberry, because he had a Burberry outfit on. So it just looked like the group was having an incredible time together, some team bonding, and for something like this to happen, just devastating, so sad. I can't imagine what his family, what his friends, what his teammates are going through right now. But, you know, would have loved to see somebody like that be able to compete on the Steelers this upcoming season.
Yeah, you know, it's tragic. So young, his entire life still in front of him, right? And whenever something like this happens, Maddie, whether it's a loved one, a friend, people we know, a famous person from the outside looking in, we all say the same thing. And I think it gets true and true more as we go on in life and it keeps happening, which is appreciate your loved ones.
Yeah.
And not only appreciate them, I think maybe even more importantly, let them know how much you appreciate them. Let them know how much appreciative you are of them, right? And and I think when I see a story like this, like I hope Dwayne Haskins knew how much he was loved by people.
Yeah.
Right? I hope. And because I think that's the thing of it. Unfortunately, we take a lot of each other for granted. Right. And and tomorrow's not promised to any of us. And to make sure that just every once in a while you connect to somebody and you tell them, I love you. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
I need you. You're important in my life. I just think that goes a long way. And this is a tragedy. And I read Mike Tomlin's words and I thought he was very eloquent about explaining what kind of a person and teammate Dwayne Haskins was. It's unfortunate. It really is. But I, especially at that age, you look at that and, you know, to think about a young man who has his entire life in front of him, that he won't get a chance to live that now is truly tragic. But appreciate, not only appreciate your loved ones and, but tell them and let them know. And I think that's important a lot of times.
Yeah. He was a former first round pick of the 2019 NFL draft, 15th overall pick out of Ohio State. He was drafted to Washington and was on the Pittsburgh Steelers this past season. Just terrible, terrible news. It'll be interesting to see how some of these teams honor him throughout the season. I'm sure the NFL will do something. I'm sure a lot of teams will do things to honor him. But yeah, you are completely right. You know, tell your loved ones that you love them, because life is short. No day is guaranteed. You never know what's going to happen. And also, I love bringing this up whenever I can, is, you know, you never know what somebody's going through. I mean, you know what the Haskins family is going through right now. They're going through a really difficult time. You know, his teammates are going through a really difficult time, but that's why it's so important to be kind and nice to people, is because people could be battling with something behind the scenes that you have no idea what is going on. So I always try and be nice to anybody I can, people who are working at different places, places where it's hard to be nice to people at sometimes when you can't get your way or something like that. But you never know what somebody's battling with. You never know what's going on behind the scenes.
You know, I read this weekend. I believe it was Seth Davis who had said it, but I think other people have. So I don't know if, you know, and he's a sports commentator, but it's truly a great, you know, way to look at things in perspective. And it basically goes that one of the true measures of someone's character is how you treat people who have no benefit to you. And I think that's a great way to look at it.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't, you don't have to have someone be a benefit to you in your life to be nice to them. Yeah. Be nice to everybody. Be kind to people. Let's make this world a kind place. And then people can know how much they're appreciated and loved.
Yeah.
So there's no doubt. Obviously, the NFL, the Pittsburgh Steelers, are going to miss Dwayne Haskins and obviously his family and friends, and our thoughts go out to them.
Yeah, and it seems like Dwayne Haskins did just that. It seemed like he was a super kind person, an incredible teammate on and off the field, somebody who brought light to any room. I never got to interview him or got to be around him, but it seems like he was an awesome guy and somebody who I'm sure we both would have loved to meet if we had the opportunity to.
Yeah, and you know, he came from Ohio State, and there's tons of Ohio State fans around, and I know that they feel the connection to him, even if they've never met him, right?
Yeah.
I've spoken with several people who I know are Ohio State fans. I texted them, like, wow, did you see about Dwayne Haskins? And those people are very, you know, they feel like that part of their family.
Yeah.
that he is, because I think that's the way you treat it a lot of times when it's your school, your team, and the people that you grow up and you're watching all the time, you have these connections to.
Yeah, definitely. So ahead in the show at 1:30, we are going to have Sam Acho on with us. He's an ESPN NFL analyst. They were breaking down the Bills on ESPN, so we're going to talk some Bills with him. Also get into his new book that was released. We have a Twitter question that's going on. What's the one move the Bills made this offseason that will help Josh Allen the most? The Bills made several moves this offseason, I think. Many more moves than many of us thought the Bills would make. We know Brandon Bean is kind of one to say, we'll see what happens. We don't have all the money to spend. And then this offseason, man, there were some big moves that were made. Von Miller, Stephon Diggs, Isaiah McKenzie is back. Several different people brought back to the roster. Several new people on the roster as well. So if there's one move that you think is going to help Josh Allen the most, give us a call here at 803-0550. We would love to hear your thoughts. You can go ahead and tweet at us as well. Sal, is there some player or position group maybe that comes to mind that you think had a bunch of moves or a move in a certain player that you think will affect Josh Allen the most here?
I do, but the way you phrase it, though, I'll have to go off my chart a little bit. Because here – I'm thinking about this, Maddie, and as we brought up the topic, what one move, I'm thinking, man, all right, obviously they got Saffold and did some things in the offensive line. I really like the Jamison Crowder move. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big one. But I'm going to go with not a player. I think it's Ken Dorsey being elevated to
offensive coordinator. I like that, thinking outside of the box.
And here's why. I think we all know that Josh Allen has had stability at that position with Brian Daboll since he came into the league. Brian Daboll's been his only offensive coordinator. You look at that 2018 draft class, Maddie, and Baker Mayfield's had a ton of uncertainty and chaos around him, right? Position coaches. Even Lamar has a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's been settled down the last couple of years with Greg Roman. Even he's had some of that. Obviously, we know that Josh Rosen had, and he's kind of, you know, he's on a team now, but he's not, never became what he thought he would. People thought he would. And then, of course, you have Sam Darnold, who I always believed if Sam Darnold was in a stable environment, I thought he would have a chance in the league.
Yeah.
But he was never in a stable environment. And what did Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean continually tell us when it was A, thinking that maybe Brian Daboll would leave, and then B, after he left, they kept saying, it's important that Josh has a say and that we keep the stability around Josh Allen. And that's why they knew, and we knew from the beginning, that Ken Dorsey was going to be a candidate here. I think it is such a benefit for this quarterback to go into his fifth year to basically have the same continuity, even though it's not the same person, and there's going to be new ideas, there's going to be a few things that are changing here and there. He is not getting a whole new staff. He's not getting someone from the outside. He's got a guy he's been with for the last 3 years of his career. He's got a guy who is going to run the same system with most of the same terminology, you would think. To me, that's the biggest benefit. Now, it's piggybacked on, of course, losing Brian Daboll, which is a big loss for the Bills.
Yeah.
But the one move this team made that I think benefits Josh is to make sure he does not have chaos in the quarterback room.
I think that's so well said and is so, I think, one of the most important moves this offseason. I mean, could you imagine, Josh would do fine with it, but could you imagine somebody new coming in here after you've had the last 3-4 seasons of just solid people in place since Josh Allen was a rookie quarterback? I mean, I think you could go down and look at quarterbacks who have been in the NFL for 4 years or their first 3 seasons, really. Mm-hmm. You could look at any quarterback in the NFL today. It doesn't have to be young quarterback right now. And you could look at if they had a different offensive coordinator in those first 3 years and how their first 3 years went. And I 100%. Think you would see the quarterbacks who had a lot of change at offensive coordinator, head coach maybe, I'm sure their first 3 years are nothing like the quarterbacks who had a solid OC or a solid head coach in those first 3 years.
Stability. I'll give you a great example. Tua Tagovailoa is going into his third offensive coordinator in 3 years in the NFL. He's already a guy that there's a lot of questions about. Well, how can he really kind of fulfill his potential? If you, how can you get such a good read on him if you keep changing things on him every year, right? And I feel for the young man in that situation. I feel for any quarterback who has to go through that. I'm not a big, you know, Tua guy. I don't think necessarily he's going to be that great in the NFL. But I also think that he's hampered by having these situations around him where he doesn't have a chance to do that. But I'll tell you this. If the Bills did bring someone from the outside, what would this show sound like? Every day it'd be like, how is that going to work? Mm-hmm. Here's the number one question. Everybody would say, what's the number one question about the Bills? OC. Now you might still have it because Ken Dorsey's new at the position. But every day you don't listen to One Bills Live thinking, what's going to happen at offense? Yeah. How's it going to look? How's Josh going to handle it? Because I think there's a calming of the waters that people understand that Ken Dorsey is going to have a good effect and Josh Allen and him have a good relationship.
And you hear and listen to the players talk about Ken Dorsey and what he has meant to this offense even before becoming the offensive coordinator, which he hasn't really touched the offense yet as the offensive coordinator. These guys will get back here April 19th to begin off-season workouts. And then, you know, OTAs, rookie minicamp, those things are right around the corner in May and June. But these guys talk about Ken Dorsey as someone who did play a really big role in the way that Josh Allen grew as a quarterback coming into the NFL. We heard Stefon Diggs talk about Ken Dorsey as almost a friend, somebody that he talks to. I don't think that's common to hear a wide receiver talk about a quarterback's coach in that way and talk about, he went out of his way and I went out of my way to make sure that we had an open line of communication and that we had a relationship. It all goes into everything we hear about the Buffalo Bills being such a tight team, such a tight coaching staff, the family atmosphere that Stefon Diggs said drew him to Buffalo. You know, all these things work together, and I think Ken Dorsey is going to do a fantastic job in that role. I'm so excited to see how the offense looks similar and maybe how it looks a little bit different too.
100% with that, because there is always going to be some changes. Look, when you get elevated into a role, if you are the number two person, as basically Ken Dorsey has been as the quarterback's coach, you're always looking and thinking, okay, but maybe I would do something a little bit different, right? You're anybody. That's natural. That's human nature. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what Ken Dorsey's going to do, which is, okay, get with Josh, figure out what he likes, what's working, and then what else can we do to kind of tweak this to make this a little bit different? And I'm excited to see what Ken Dorsey, by the way, totally, you know this, totally different personality than Brian Daboll too, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's what's really interesting about this. You have Brian Daboll, who is kind of like the gregarious, saying hi to everybody, always at practice. And Ken Dorsey, who's more of the, like, he's kind of more reserved.
Yeah.
You know, he's got that, that focused look on his face. He just kind of walks out. He's different than Ken. There's nothing, I'm not saying either way is good or bad as a personality. They're both kind of different. But that's what it is. It's different. So that's why I'm interested to see this happen with Ken Dorsey.
I think quick before we go to break, one of the things that I'm most excited about too is this guy tore it up at Miami.
Yes, he did.
He is a two-time NCAA quarterback of the year in 2001 and 2002. He was national championship winner in 2001. I mean, he was the guy at Miami, and the team kind of gets on him, not makes fun of him, but they're like, this guy, he really did a lot at Miami. So I'm excited to see what he can bring from his quarterback days at Miami. He knows how to play the position. I'm sure he has a lot of creativity within it as well. We're going to take a break. When we come back, ESPN NFL analyst Sam Acho will join us. We'll talk Bills. We'll talk offseason. We'll talk his thoughts on the team in this 2022 season. And stick with us right here. One Bills Live is presented by Kaleida Health on Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back into One Bills Live on this Monday afternoon. We've got a guest joining us now. Excited to have him on and hear some of his insight about the Bills and what he thinks about this team as we approach the 2022 season. It's going to be here before we know it, the NFL draft right around the corner. So let's bring on ESPN College Football and NFL Studio Analyst Sam Acho. He's a former NFL linebacker, played in the league for 9 seasons, also spent some time with the Buffalo Bills. And we know, Sam, thanks for coming on. A hot topic as of late has been Josh Allen and Stefon Diggs, because Stefon Diggs got that money thanks to Brandon Bean. He's now going to be in Buffalo for the foreseeable future. He said he wanted to retire in Buffalo and wants to finish out his career here with the Buffalo Bills, which makes all of us very happy. But when you see a deal like this, when you see a quarterback being locked up to a number one wide receiver for this long, what were some of your first thoughts when you saw this come down?
Too much of it. And what I mean by that is a lot of times people say, all right, well, you signed this big deal, now all the pressure's on you. But I don't think that a guy like Josh Allen or even Stefon Diggs sees it that way. Stephon Diggs has been a grinder. I remember playing against him when he was in Minnesota. Like, this dude is a grinder. When he was the lowest paid guy, right, I think fourth round or fifth round pick, he was grinding, and he's still grinding no matter what the contract looks like. And so, if anything, I'm excited because of the future stability for the team. They already got their star quarterback locked up, young quarterback Josh Allen. Now you got your number one receiver locked up. Excited about that, a top defense. So I'm excited for the future, but this deal doesn't change, in my opinion, Josh Allen or Stephon Diggs present.
You know, when you were here for a little while in 2019, things had already started to change, Sam. Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, they really changed the culture. People, they want to be in Buffalo. That wasn't always the case here, right? It was always fighting to try and get free agents and, you know, maybe guys getting out the door after their contract expires. What do you remember about, you know, the way it worked here under them, and why has it changed and been so nice for this team and us here in Buffalo to say, you know what, this is an organization where people want to come?
Well, Buffalo was one of my – that's the team I still root for in a lot of ways. I played for four different teams. I spent the shortest amount of time in Buffalo, but had one of the best experiences there. Number one, Brandon Bean, the GM, the way that he treats his players. It's not one of these things – people talk about coaches or maybe even GMs being player-friendly. It's not even that. He's just fair. Brandon Bean is fair. He calls it like it is. He's building his roster, building his team, and he has a vision for it, right? Talking about Edmonds, young leader at middle linebacker, and then Josh Allen, young leader. That's all they talked about, their youth. And then secondly, what I love is Sean McDermott. He comes off, if you look at him from afar, as this kind of mean, aggressive guy. But when you get in close, you realize he's no nonsense, but he cares about the players, right? I want to use the words kind and loving. I don't know if those are the right words, but he actually cares. And I think that makes players respond differently. And then lastly, the culture. If you look at the culture there, you walk into the facility, everything you see, at least when I was there 2 years ago, it talked about playoff caliber. That was all that they talked about, being a playoff caliber team. And since I've left, they've just increased the standard more and more. And so that's why I'm still excited about Buffalo. Von Miller joining the Buffalo Bills is huge. Two-time Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP. So I'm excited about the Bills.
Well, when you talk about the vision that Brandon Bean had, he had a vision for Josh Allen, and they were able to get him in the draft. Many people didn't know or didn't think Josh Allen had the ceiling that the Buffalo Bills thought he would have. And I mean, look at him now. On ESPN, you said that he is your top quarterback in the league right now. Why do you think he's number one?
Because he has everything you need, not just in a quarterback, but in a leader. I may be a little bit biased because I've played with him, but this dude is a man amongst men, right? Josh Allen, every bit of 6'5", every bit of 240, I don't know, maybe even 250. And people say big time players make big time plays in big time games. I'll add one more. In big time moments, and Josh Allen does it. Fourth and one, whose hands are the ball going to be in? Josh Allen. He's going to make people miss and make a play. Third and one, game on the line. It's Josh Allen, big time player making big time plays in big time games. If it's one on one, mano a mano, my guy versus your guy, it's always going to be Josh Allen. He doesn't have to rely on anybody else. He can rely on he, himself, and I. And so with Josh Allen, I get excited about his intangibles, right? The size, the strength, the speed. I also get excited about the leadership that he possesses. The little time I spent around him, he was one of those leaders that it seems like nothing phases him. Like, I am who I am. If you like it, great. If you don't like it, great. I care about me, my team, and my city. And the city has rallied around Josh Allen, number two. And then number three, the guys around him believe in him. So as a quarterback or as a player, it's not just about you as an individual. You could be a great quarterback, but have no pieces around you. But all of a sudden, look at Gabriel Davis, guys like that stepping up. Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley's gone now, but you got other people stepping in, believing in him. People rally around Josh Allen. And so the reason he's my number one quarterback is not just what he does on the football field, but it's the way that he inspires a city, inspires his teammates, and he doesn't care what people think.
And Sam, he is a legit like NFL superstar now. One thing I noticed Super Bowl week, and now coming off the heels of just a couple of weeks before that, basically, the loss to Kansas City and what he did to put them in position. Obviously, they lost with 13 seconds left. But one thing I noticed that week, everybody wanted a piece of him in L.A. He was on every podcast. He was on every television station. I mean, I would argue at the award show, I would argue that that loss even did more for him and his stardom in the NFL than any win he's ever had in his career. He is a legit superstar.
But that's great. And here's the great thing. You're probably totally right on that. But here's the thing. Josh Allen doesn't care about that. Right? Josh Allen doesn't care about the stardom, doesn't care about the fame. Like, he's been the same guy. I was there in 2019. I was there for 3-4 weeks. And I was close to my last year in the NFL, right? I'd already played 8 seasons. I'd been around playoff teams, been around in college, national championship teams. I know what it takes to win. And I saw that dude, and I was like, yep, that's it. The veterans, Lorenzo Alexander, who was a 14-year vet at the time on the Buffalo Bills, he respects him. The guys on the defense respect him. They know that he's a dude. Let's put it that way. Like, he's a dude. And there are certain players, like NFL players, in a lot of ways, I'm not going to say they're a dime a dozen, but you can make it in the NFL. But to be a dude in the NFL, to be a stud, there are certain players that have that body type, Josh Allen. Mentality, Josh Allen. Now you got the team around you, Josh Allen. That's why I get excited about him. And then we've seen it on the field, critical moments. They put the ball in his hands and he makes the play when no one else would.
I mean, the way that he turned it on in the playoffs this past season was so much fun to watch. That was, if you didn't believe in Josh Allen then, you are a believer after that, because to watch what he did, to put the team on his back, to make the throws that he did, to score the points that he needed to make, it was incredible. We have been sold on him for a few seasons, but now I think the rest of the world definitely is sold on what type of quarterback Josh Allen is. But the offseason has been absolutely wild. I mean, the NFL is starting to rival the NFL with some of the moves that have happened this offseason. What offseason move by the Bills do you think is going to pay off the most this season?
Well, easy answer is Von Miller. And part of the reason is, of course, we were talking about the Bills and the lack of pass rush. And when I say lack, you have a lot of young pass rushers, right? Epinesa, young pass rushers, right? And so if you get a guy like Von Miller, not only do you add to your pass rush, but you add to your expertise, guys who can teach you how to rush the quarterback. Yes, Jerry Hughes could have been doing that last year, right? The year before, you can talk about Trent Murphy doing that. But now you have a guy who has a playoff experience and Super Bowl experience that can teach the young players the tricks of the trade. I came out with Von Miller, so we both played the Senior Bowl together, and I know him really well. I know the kind of teammate that he is. That's another piece as well, another leader. And so for me, Von Miller is that piece because of the on-the-field success. I think he had 4 sacks in the playoffs, maybe more, just in the playoffs alone. And then the leadership. When he was in Denver, he would throw defense dinners at his house every once a week, right? Usually on Thursdays, they do these team dinners. That's the intangibles that people like Von Miller can add. And so, and I don't know if it was Thursday, but I know once a week he would do those dinners. So I get excited about Von Miller, the addition for the pass rush, but also for the team building and bonding.
Sam Acho joining us here on One Bills Live. Well, let's take a look at the entire landscape of the AFC, because Sam, there has been some major movement, obviously, with all these quarterbacks. We know what we have here in Buffalo and in Josh Allen, and I think Josh Allen will obviously be fighting for championships for a while. But that fight got a lot harder this year with some of the moves that we saw, and with the elevation of a guy like, you have Justin Herbert, obviously, you have Joe Burrow, you still have Patrick Mahomes. I mean, the list goes on and on here. What do you make of the AFC and what it's become?
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing to see the way that Joe Burrow ascended. He was playing really well his rookie year. Then he got injured. Then he came and stormed on the scene and was outstanding. Obviously, Justin Herbert was second in the NFL in passing yards. More passing yards than the MVP, Tom Brady. I believe he had more touchdowns as well. So you got a guy like Justin Herbert. Now Russell Wilson comes to the AFC, Super Bowl champ. There's a lot to be excited about, not to mention Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, there's so many stars in the AFC, which is going to make some really exciting football. Derek Carr got Devontae Adams. And so now you got weapons for the quarterbacks who are already there. There are so many stars, which is going to make for good football. I get excited about who's going to be able to stop the stars, who's going to be able to put some light out in the darkness so you don't see the stars as much, right? And so I think that's when I start thinking about defenses and coordinators and yes, offensive schemes are great and phenomenal, but just like we saw in the playoffs, if you don't have a defense that can stop an offense, you really have no chance.
Yeah, it was interesting to see a lot of these teams bolster up on defense after some of their rivals or opponents within the division made some moves on offense. You see teams start to load up on defense. The AFC is going to be so much fun to watch this season. But if we go a little bit smaller size, AFC East, who do you think is going to be the team that can contend with the Bills this season?
AFC East. I think the Jets are still rising, so they got some work to do. The Dolphins, people get excited about Miami. Of course, Tyreek Hill coming to Miami is a lot to be excited about. I think there are still question marks of what Mike McDaniel will be able to do with Tua. I remember y'all saw on the flight, his private jet flying to Tua. He said, I believe in you. I'm going to bring the best out of you. Hopefully he can do that. I still think the Patriots are that team that will try to challenge the Bills. I understand the Buffalo's won the last two AFC East titles. But when you have Bill Belichick and Mac Jones played outstanding, and you know you're going to have a top five defense in New England, I still think that you cannot sleep on the Patriots. And so maybe the Jets will be that surprise team. But I still see New England being the team that rivals Buffalo.
Now, you talked about Maddie brought up the coordinators and things like that. Talk about the guys stopping these quarterbacks. Bills had the number one defense in the league last year, obviously. They've been very good. You played for Leslie Frazier. You know what he's like. Just give us a little more insight, because we've heard so many great things, and we've gotten to know him, obviously, but how really incredible of a football coach he is.
Yeah, he's outstanding, and I was only with him for 4 weeks, so I didn't really get to right. understand. You know, I was in training camp, too, so they don't show you the entire defense, but from what I saw during my time in training camp, they are who they are. They are physical, aggressive, attacking style of defense. That's who they are. And they're also a smart defense. You look at the way that the players play, specifically on the back end, Poyer and Hyde are two smart football players. And so physical, aggressive, attacking. And what I experienced was that they want the players to let their personalities show. Right? I love Trey White. Like, I got a chance to spend a little bit of time with him. Like, let your personality show all across the board. And so I'm sad that Harry's gone, of course. Like, he was a good friend of mine, Harrison Phillips. Star hasn't signed back. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens on the inside. I think they're, you know, obviously there'll be some new people getting production on the inside. But I just love how the fact that he said, go and make plays. Be aggressive, be attacking, don't hold back, go make the play.
Yeah, we love Leslie Frazier and the guys that are on the defense. We want to ask you one more question, though. You have a book out. It's called Let the World See You. It's a book about revealing your true self, and it will help crack the shell of people who are in hiding and reveal the benefits of a lifestyle lived on purpose. Can you give us a little synopsis of the book and let people know where they can purchase it if they would like to?
Definitely. Well, funny enough, a lot of this book was written right before I got to Buffalo. And so I had torn my pec. I was going on my eighth year in the NFL, signed a multi-year contract. Then I tore my pec. Before that, I'd gotten benched. And then our house flooded. Like, so many things happened. I didn't know if I was going to play football again. And I noticed during my time playing that though the NFL is great, you were teammates and coaches, all that stuff, oftentimes people, whether you're an NFL player or not, we tend to hide. We tend to pretend. We tend to put on these figurative masks just to try to fit in. And I realized that that weight that we carry is not healthy. And so as I started going through my process of what it means to be vulnerable, to be honest, to be authentic, I started realizing that there's a huge benefit and freedom in being you and in letting the world see you. Specifically, I say the subtitle is How to Be Real in a World Full of Fakes. So much of what I experience, what we all experience, is people who are fake on social media. People who are fake on Twitter, on Instagram. And this book is about what it means to be real. I think that when you read this book, you'll understand the freedom that comes with being you and being real. And so during my time in Buffalo, even after I got released from the team, I stayed in Buffalo for 2 months. And I was training and training and writing as well. I'm working on this book. And so a lot of the pages that you'll read really resonate with the stories of ups and downs that we go through in life. And also what it means to be vulnerable. So you can find the book at samachobook.com. It's also on Amazon, Let the World See You. You can just type it on Amazon. And it's a book really about freedom, right? About how to be free when it seems like we're all kind of
That's awesome. Stuck in the mud.
It sounds like a really great book.
What a great message. What a great message, Sam.
Thank you so much for coming on with us, talking Bills, talking your book. We appreciate the time. And you guys can find him on ESPN. He's all over ESPN almost every single day. So, Sam, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. That was Sam Acho, ESPN College Football and NFL Studio Analyst. We're going to take a break. When we come back, may dip into the tweet sheet or take a couple calls. Give us a call here, 803-0550, to answer our Twitter question. We will see you guys here in a couple minutes. One Bills Live is presented by Clyde Health on Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back into One Bills Live. We just had ESPN NFL analyst Sam Acho on with us. He spent some time with the Bills during the 2019 offseason. He said he was there for just a couple of weeks, but it was enough time to just see how unique and fun it is to be a part of this team, to be a part of this culture. Talked about how Josh Allen is that dude, which is no surprise at all. But I think it's a little bit interesting to hear from someone who just literally got like a little taste of what Buffalo was like, but quickly found out kind of all the things we hear about what our players say about this team.
Yeah, and it really has changed. He was kind of right in the middle of it when the change was really kind of turning over and happening. You know, they had gone to the playoffs in 17, obviously. They take the step back in 18. They draft Josh Allen. That's the year, rookie year. But then 19 was when everything kind of exploded. And this team really, really burst, I think, onto the national scene where people started to take notice. And I think right around then is when people started to also say, I think that's a place that I want to go to and play with that guy and that GM and that head coach. And Sam was right in the middle of it.
It's wild how quickly things can change in the NFL and change so quickly for a team. Just, I mean, we've got the Sabres here in town, too, and it seems like they're starting to turn a new leaf. A lot of excitement, hopefully, ahead for the team. But just when you compare the two sports, the NFL and the NHL, I mean, it takes a while for an NHL team to turn things around or to do a true rebuild versus the NFL.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the a quote, and I'd said this on the radio a couple weeks ago because something else had reminded me, but you talking about this just reminded me. Jerry Glanville, who used to be a head coach in the NFL, and he was kind of flamboyant, and used to leave tickets for Elvis all the time, things like that. Mm-hmm. He was an assistant in Buffalo in 1983, and he had a great quote one time. He said, Buffalo made us cry twice in our family. Once when we found out we had to go, and then once when we find out we had to leave.
Oh, my God.
Right? That's what Buffalo is. It's the place where you don't know. Like, Maddie, you know, you come here.
Yeah, 2019 was my first year. I remember, like, announcing that I got the job, first telling family and friends, and then people are like, why the hell are you going to Buffalo?
And now you're like,
well, it's an NFL team is based here. That's why I'm going to Buffalo. I don't care how great the town is. Like, I'm going for an awesome job. And then you move here and you quickly realize how great everything is.
And now you're making your family here with, you're getting married and living here. I mean, I think that's the true Buffalo story, what you just laid out, which is like you, which is people are like, what are you doing going there, right? What's that about? And then even you might even think, okay, yeah, I'm going there for a job, whatever. You get here, you love the city.
Yeah.
You love the place. Sam talked about that and just like being here. And I think it even goes more so for these guys who are now part of this football team, these players who come here and look at a guy like Stephon Diggs. What did he say last week in his press conference? I thought it was really great how he said when he was traded here, he heard from so many people like, oh, it's not going to work in Buffalo. You're not going to like it there. Yeah. He said, and you know what? He loves it here, and that's why he wanted to stay. And now, obviously, he's tied with Josh Allen and the Bills for a long time. And I think that's what Buffalo has become, I think, around the National Football League.
I'll go to bat for Buffalo any day. Anytime anybody asks me, you know, how I like it, what I've thought of Buffalo, if, you know, even after my first year, people are, how long are you going to be here? A while. I really enjoyed here.
Right.
I love Buffalo. I love the team. I love my job. And, you know, everybody says that once they get here, once they're here for a year. So it's funny because I had some people tell me when I first got here, when I was quickly meeting, you know, people who work for the Bills, people that have become family and friends to me, basically, they were like, Buffalo does this weird thing where you end up staying in Buffalo, whether it's a job or whether it's somebody else.
Yes,
and I'm moving to Buffalo single, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm not going to meet anybody in Buffalo. So I was being a hater at first, too. Not about the job, but, you know, just
not
about
knowing
the city a little bit, not knowing. And then I met my fiance, who didn't live in Buffalo at the time, but he's from Buffalo. And so now people laugh at me because they're like, huh, you met your fiance, soon-to-be husband, and he's from Buffalo. So Buffalo just has a way of keeping you here, but I think that's a good thing.
No doubt about it. So I think it's cool when we hear stories like that from guys like Sam Acho, and he's high on the football team too, and rightfully so. And a lot of people are right now. The Bills are the betting line favorite to win the Super Bowl at most sports books.
We had that a lot this past season too. Once we got into the playoffs or close to the playoffs, and now I'm like, I don't want that smoke. Like, don't put it near this team. I want them to be doubted. Don't put them as Super Bowl favorites. I'm sure. I mean, some of them look at that stuff. Some of them don't. Some of them use it as fuel. Some of them don't. But I'm like, just Don't look at the Bills. Let them do their thing in quiet, and we'll come onto the scene when we need to.
That's right.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to dip into the phone lines. We've got Joe, who's been hanging on for a while, so we'll take his call. If you guys want to tune into the conversation, give us a call here, 803-0550. What's the one move the Bills made this offseason that will help Josh Allen the most? We're taking your calls in the next segment. One Bills Live is presented by Clyde Health on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Steve Tasker, who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve.
A balloon.
Steve. A blimp. We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy.
One more hour left here on One Bills Live. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you all had a wonderful weekend. No Chris Brown, no Steve Tasker. We are playing their roles this week, Maddie Glab alongside WGR Bills beat reporter and sideline reporter Sal Capaccio. We will be here Monday through Thursday. You're stuck with us. We can't wait to keep talking Bills. We've got a Twitter question out there for everybody, and it is, what's the one move the Bills made this offseason that will help Josh Allen the most? Sal, your answer, a great one, was Ken Dorsey moving into that offensive coordinator role and just having someone, a familiar face in place yet again for Josh Allen to continue to grow. I haven't answered the question yet.
You've been holding out on us.
I've been holding out.
I said in the break, Maddie, I've not heard your answer yet. The listeners are waiting for your answer on the what move the Bills have made to help Josh Allen the most.
I'm going to go defense.
Wow.
And I believe it is Von Miller. I'm sure it is a popular answer once we look on the tweet sheet, which we will do later. But I think it's Von Miller for a bunch of reasons. I mean, the Buffalo Bills have a pass rush. They have some great players on the team, on the defensive line. They needed that guy. And I think Von Miller, we will be able to fill in that hole. There's several young players on the defensive line, as we heard Sam Acho talk about in the 1:30 hour when he was on with us and was talking about the addition of Von Miller. I think he brings a veteran presence to the room. I think he's going to help people play better alongside him. The way that he gets after the quarterback, the stats that he has, he's played in the NFL for a long time and continues to have productive seasons. He's had 7 double-digit seasons with sack numbers. He had 18.5 in 2012, had 14.5 in 2018. He was huge for the Rams in their Super Bowl game. I mean, what he was able to do in the playoffs and what he's known for, being able to turn it on in games that truly matter, I think is something that the Buffalo Bills lacked. I think is something that they're going to get in Von Miller. I think Jerry Hughes and Mario Addison were wonderful assets to the Buffalo Bills. I think they filled in that veteran presence role. I think they were leaders on the team in a lot of different ways. We're not sure what the future holds with them. So I think the addition of Von Miller helps fill the hole that's there right now. I think they needed somebody who was going to be that pass rusher. We hear Brandon Bean talk about all the time. Pass rushers are so important in this league. When I see a good pass rusher, I want to draft a good pass rusher. What did the Bills do in the draft last year? Round one, round two. Greg Rousseau, Boogie Basham. You can't get enough of them, according to Brandon Bean. I think he is a special player. I think there's not a lot of players like him in the NFL. People may point to how old he is. Does he have anything left in the tank? I certainly think he does, and I think he's going to make an impact on this team on day one. I think that's what the Bills need. They don't need another rookie edge rusher. Who knows? Maybe they'll get one in the draft, but he's going to be able to make a big impact on day one. I think it helps out Josh Allen because I think Von Miller is going to put the ball back in the offense's hands a lot more often. And that's what they needed. They needed that closer on defense. I think he is that guy, and I think he's going to play a big role on the defense, in the locker room, and on this team as a whole. So I think he's the biggest help for Josh Allen.
Yeah, and I agree with your sentiment about having left in the tank. Like, this is a position where you can play into your mid-30s at a high yeah. level. Lots of guys have. He just turned 33 last month, Von Miller. He signs with the Bills. He turns 33. So he still has, I think, good football left in him. And Peyton Manning once called this man the greatest athlete he ever played with. He keeps his body finely tuned. Mm-hmm. He's obviously a leader. He's dialed in. I mean, this guy is all about winning championships. He's already won two of them. He's been an MVP. I like your point about, because I think people are wondering, well, what do you mean, Maddie? How can he help Josh Allen? That's a great point. Putting the ball back in your offense's hands. Mm-hmm. And do you think there's a sense that when you have that kind of a pass rusher, when you have that kind of a player, maybe there's a sense that the Bills don't feel they have to outscore everyone, maybe in a, it doesn't have to get to a shootout. Hey, you know what? We don't have to necessarily try to get a game into the 30s if we have a guy like Von Miller on the other side that's keeping the other offense down a little bit. That could help Josh Allen in and of itself.
Yeah, I agree. The defense had an incredible year last year. They were number one in the NFL. But some games, they maybe didn't look like the number one yeah. defense in the NFL. And in the playoffs, you saw that a little bit. Look at the AFC. It is going to be so hard to compete with some of these teams because of the offenses that we're seeing. You need a defense to stop the opposing team from scoring a lot of points. I think at times you wanted the offense to finish out the game. You wanted the offense to be on the field to end the game. You wanted the offense to put up more points to end the game. I think you should want the defense on the field to end the game just as much. And in 2020, we saw a defense that wasn't like a 2019 defense, wasn't like a 2021 defense. And that's when we wanted the offense to finish games. Last year, the defense had a great season. This year, I think they can take it a step further with the addition of Von Miller. I think we want the defense on the field to finish games. I think having a defense who can maybe even limit opposing offenses more than our defense did this past season gives the offense, like you said, maybe a game or two here or there, they don't need to score that extra touchdown because the defense has held that team to 16 points, to under 20 points. I think he's going to play a big role in helping Josh Allen and helping take some of the stress off Josh Allen's back.
And I think the other thing that can happen, too, is it's maybe that one extra possession they get because, you know, you get the ball back. How about just that little bit of change in field position because you make a play, you get a sack, you take them out of field goal range. You get a strip sack and fumble. Josh and the offense takes over at the 25 versus getting the ball in their own territory in a punt, right? Now, all of a sudden, you're talking about a four-point swing, 7 versus 3 as far as a touchdown versus a field goal. So no doubt, I think that if you can have playmakers, game-changing playmakers on the defensive side of the ball, that can no doubt help your offense. And sometimes, Maddie, honestly, like it's funny, we're sitting here talking. Here we are on April 11th. The team reports for their first day of offseason workouts in 8 days. I forget sometimes Von Miller's on the Buffalo Bills. And it's amazing to think about Von Miller's on the Buffalo Bills. Like, you bring it up, and I'm like, oh, yeah, they got Von Miller. How can you forget about it? Because he signs this huge contract. He's going to walk into the Hall of Fame 5 years after mm-hmm. his career is over. But it's true. Like, they have this really good roster, and it's Josh Allen, Josh Allen. Look what they've done on offense. Oh, by the way, they added Von Miller a month ago.
And you add players like Von Miller because of the way the AFC looks right now.
That's right.
Because you need to stop Patrick Mahomes, because you need to stop Justin Herbert, because you need to stop Joe Burrow. I talked about what the AFC looks like with their quarterbacks and the offenses, and his teams were loading up on offense and offense, whether it be quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, offensive line. What did you see? You saw opponents start to load up on defense. It's become a chess match in the AFC. These games are going to be incredible to watch. We may get a couple Bills-Chiefs games this season because of what the AFC looks like, because of the playmakers on these teams and because of the crazy defenses that we're seeing built. I could go like nerd into depth just about like the evolution of the NFL over the last 5 years and what we're seeing translate from the college game into the NFL and how it's playing an effect on NFL defenses and how defenses have had to get quicker and longer and faster and more explosive because of guys like Josh Allen, because of guys like Patrick Mahomes. Your defenses have to completely change because of what we're seeing out of quarterbacks, because we're seeing quarterbacks who have cannon arms and we're seeing quarterbacks who can take off on their feet whenever they want to. That creates defense that has to be quicker, that has to be more explosive, that has to be able to impact the quarterback from your defensive line all the way down to the secondary. We see a lot of nickel coverage in the NFL nowadays because of the way that the game is played. I mean, look at the way that we play defense. We are a 4-2 defense. We don't play a 3-4. We don't see three or four linebackers on the field a lot. Sometimes we do when we're playing against run-heavy teams, but oftentimes you're seeing just Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds on the field, and that's because of quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Russell Wilson. I mean, you could go down the line. We're going to see a lot of them.
And on top of it, the way the receiver position has evolved. You know, it used to be you had a certain player that was a slot receiver, right? Now everybody can kind of do it a little bit. They can go inside, they can go outside. But even if you're just a slot guy, you get the Cole Beasleys. But also now you get the bigger players who can play in the slot as well. They're going to be tougher to match up and things like that. How about the Deebo Samuels of the world, right, of the San Francisco 49ers, the guys now who you try to just put the ball in their hands wherever they can? You got to have athletes on the field. You got to have playmakers. You got to have people who actually can go sideline to sideline and do different things. It's funny. So I always, my Twitter, at Sal Sports, if people want to check it out, my pinned tweet is always the Bills roster. And every time there's a change, I update it, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the things I do is I highlight the new additions. And it stands out to me that, once again, here we are. There are five new additions on the Bills' defensive line. Two at defensive end, Von Miller and Shaq Lawson. Three at defensive tackle, Tim Settle, Daquan Jones, Jordan Phillips. And you're right, I think that this is a direct response to what we're seeing around the AFC. You got to have penetrators. You got to have guys who can get to the quarterback from the interior, not just the exterior. You got to put pressure on the quarterback. What do we always hear them say? Get him off his spot. Make him move. Things like that. So the Bills have, more than any other position on the team this year, they have kind of overhauled the defensive line group. And I like what they've done a lot. And I think that that is going to be something that they can kind of do a little bit differently this year. Get after the quarterback in a few different ways. Every single week, Matt, you think about every single week, an offensive coordinator is going to have to think about in game plan, where is Von Miller? How do we attack him? How do we block him? When's the last time the Bills have really had a guy? Jerry Hughes has been a nice player. Mm-hmm. He's not someone an offensive coordinator for 4 or 5 straight nights goes, how am I going to block
that
guy?
What do we do?
Right.
How do we make a game plan?
That's right. We got to be aware of it. He's a good player. He's a solid player. Mm-hmm. He's put his time in this league. Von Miller's just a different cat. He's a guy that's going to make every single offensive coordinator and offensive line coach have to adjust how they perform every single week specifically for him.
Yeah, I completely agree. Our Twitter conversation, what we've been talking about, what's the one move the Bills made this offseason that will help Josh Allen the most? We're going to go to the phone lines and see if anybody else wants to add to the Twitter conversation or talk a little bit offseason. Bill from Depew, you are on with us. How are you doing today?
Good, guys. I'm really enjoying the deal. And one position that I would say maybe they didn't address would be punter. And I would like to know what you guys think of possibly. I mean, there's one guy in this draft, I believe from San Diego State, really sticks out. I mean, would we be willing to maybe blow a fifth rounder? You know what I mean? Because is it really blowing? Because, I mean, are we giving Josh Allen another tool with proverbially maybe like a great punter? What do you guys think?
His name is Matt Areza, by the way.
Yeah.
He is tremendous. I would say, yeah, it's not blowing it. Tyler Bass was a fifth rounder, right?
Yeah, Tyler Bass was a fifth rounder.
You think about
sixth rounder.
Sixth rounder. Yes. So there you go. They had two, I think, that year. But I think if you believe that that's going to help your team and be a little bit of a weapon for you, then I don't think it's blowing a draft pick. I would not put it past this team to draft a punter this year. I do think, look, Brandon Bean said himself, in his end-of-the-year press conference, when we met with him, Matty, over, and you were in there with in the media room, he said they're going to be looking at punters this offseason. Now, they did that. Then they tweaked Matt Hawk's contract, and he's coming back. It's not like they moved on from him. I believe they still think Matt Hawk can help them, and he had a down year, and they want to see that. He's insurance right now, but to me, there's no way I don't think they go to camp with one punter. I think they go with two, and they let Matt Hawk compete for the job.
I think no matter who your punter is, the Bills are always going to go into camp with two punters because that is how Sean McDermott operates. They love competition. They love guys competing and making each other better. It's something they every offseason, the competition battles that we get to see throughout camp, whether it's an intense competition or just a couple guys that are all competing maybe for second string, third string spots. The competition is intense during training camp, and I totally agree. I don't think there's going to be just one punter this offseason. I definitely think there's going to be two. In Matt Hawk's defense, think about the games that he had to punt, and not even just the home games, some of the away games. The weather was absolutely terrible. You've got a Miami kid, and you know you were on the sidelines.
Reporter here telling you, my 8 years on the sidelines, the worst weather consistently I've ever had.
Come up to the booth during halftime. I'd be like, oh my gosh, are you alive? Are you okay?
It's incredible. It was incredible. The wind. The rain. I had to change clothes, like every clothes on my body. I was changing everything underneath, even after the Houston during the halftime of the Houston game. Houston Texans come here in what week four it was? I think it was right three or four. It was the most beautiful Saturday, and then Sunday just a downpour. But yeah, the wind. I agree with you. I do think that is it. Like, that is tough. It's tough to punt in those conditions. Mm-hmm. Let's also remember, Brandon Bean has said this. Matt Hawk is a great holder. And Tyler Bass had a great season. They do not want to mess with that.
They appreciate that. That is important 100%. To them.
It's not the end-all be-all. It's not. You're not going to just say, well, he's just a holder, so who cares how inconsistent of a punter he is. But they kind of did that as the year went on because the punter was – they were scoring so many touchdowns anyway. How important does the punter become where, hey, you don't want to mess with Tyler Bass? So you look at a guy like Matt Areza, for example, right? The caller brings him up. San Diego State. Question you do have to ask is, can we teach him to be a really good holder? Mm-hmm. It's not something he normally does. That's a question whether fans or listeners agree or disagree with that philosophy. It is the Bills' philosophy. They want to make sure that they have somebody in that position who can allow Tyler Bass to be the best Tyler Bass. That's important to them, and Matt Hawk allows that to happen.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens at that position. If there's a team that's not afraid of drafting a punter, I think it's the Buffalo Bills, based on what they did with Tyler Bass, based on the impact that he's had on the roster. I totally see them, or could see them, drafting a punter in the sixth or seventh round, depending on where he's supposed to go. But this guy is talked about as being like the dude at punter. I mean, when you look up some of whether it be articles, whether it be his stats online, I mean,
unanimous All-American and the Ray Guy Award winner last year. I'm showing my age. A lot of people know exactly. I'm sure you know who Ray Guy is. I watched Ray Guy punt as a kid, and he was the standard. Uh-huh. Like, Ray Guy was incredible. And anytime you are mentioned in the same breath as him and win an award named after him, it shows you how good he is. He's a place kicker as well, by the way.
He had 18 punts of 60-plus yards in 2021, including two at 80 or more yards. An incredible net average of nearly 50 yards on open field punts. I'm reading from his draft profile on NFL.com right now. Hit 62 of 73 kickoffs for touchbacks over the course of the entire 2021 season. So those are just a few of his incredible stats. So we'll see what the Buffalo Bills do, whether it's a punter in the NFL draft or whether it's a punter somewhere throughout the offseason. I think they do add to that position group along with Matt Hawk. We'll go back to the phone lines. We have got Dennis from Jamestown on with us. Dennis, how are you today?
Hi, Maddie. Hi, Sal.
Hi.
I love the program, no matter who's behind the mic. You all do a great job.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about Mike Shula and what is his modus operandi and how do you think he'll influence the offense? Why did they bring him in? Another offensive mind, just another guy. And I'll hang up and listen. I just wanted to know what you thought about this Mike Shula.
Thanks, Dennis. Thanks. So Mike Shula was added on to these Bills staff this offseason. He's the senior offensive assistant. And we saw a bunch of different positions kind of be added on to the staff this offseason that were maybe not all senior offensive assistant, but a lot of assistant roles, a lot of roles like that. And I think back to my time working in college football. I worked for the University of Tennessee for 4 years. I went to Mizzou, and the amount of people they have on coaching staffs at college football programs and teams is absolutely wild. Every single position group has an assistant, has an intern, has an assistant to the assistant. And I think with some of these hires that you're seeing right now, I mean, you're seeing Mike Shula as the offensive assistant. You're seeing different guys who are being added in assistant roles. And I think Mike Shula is a really interesting name for the Buffalo Bills. I mean, you know what Mike Shula did in the NFL. When you look up his coaching profile from the Bucs to the Dolphins to the Bears to Alabama, being a head coach there for 3 years, to the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Panthers, the Giants, the Broncos. I'm just running down the list of places that he has coached at. He has been a bunch of places. He has seen a bunch of things. There was the overlap there in Carolina with Sean McDermott. So Sean McDermott does know Mike Shula when he was the offensive coordinator with the Panthers from 2013 to 2017. That was when Sean was the defensive coordinator over with the Carolina Panthers. So I think it'll be interesting to see what he's going to do. Do I know exactly what he's going to do? No, I assume he will oversee the offense in a few different ways. What do you kind of think about a position like this?
Well, I asked Sean McDermott about this at the owners meetings, and I thought it was interesting his answer about, once again, it goes back to, and we've heard this from Sean McDermott. So Dennis, I think to answer your overall question, he's just providing more of a voice in the room is what he's doing, right? He's another guy to lean on, essentially. And I think that the Bills really just love having that. It's extremely, and I mean extremely important to this organization that quarterback room is right. How many times have we heard Sean McDermott talk about the communication in the quarterback room? Think about the names and the people they lost and the names and the people that they've brought in. Now, you talked about, Maddie, the overlap with McDermott in Carolina. It was also an overlap with Ken Dorsey. Ken Dorsey was actually under Mike Shula in Carolina. He was the quarterback's coach for 4 years, and Mike Shula was the offensive coordinator for 4 years, maybe five, and they worked together. So now you have Ken Dorsey as the offensive coordinator. You have Mike Shula as the senior offensive assistant. You have Joe Brady in the room. And let's not forget Case Keenum and Matt Barkley. This is a really, really smart quarterback room.
Yeah.
It's a smart offensive room, but especially with the quarterback. So I think, Dennis, to answer your question, what is his role? His role is to have another person who is trusted, who can be leaned on, who's been through it all, who's seen it all, who can provide advice, who can provide perspective, and can help out in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, and, you know, with his title, I talked about all these different coaches who we're seeing being added onto the staff. We definitely saw a lot of additions this offseason onto Sean McDermott's coaching staff. I think the most that we've seen since Sean McDermott has become the head coach, you know, John Butler adds passing game coordinator to his title. You have a defensive quality control coach. You have an assistant special teams. You have another defensive quality control coach. You have Mike Shula as the senior offensive assistant. You need so many different people to help hold up this team. It takes like a small army to be able to hold up an NFL team, whether it be the coaching staff or the people that deal with these players, whether it be on the field or off the field. The coaching staff, there's a big number to their staff, and there's a reason that NFL coaching staffs or college coaching staffs have so many different people in the room, so many different people to oversee the offense or the defense. It's a long season. Not everybody can catch everything. You want as many minds in the room as you can get in the room. And I think adding Mike Shula to the staff on an offensive side of things and knowing where he's been, what he has done, who he has overlapped with, I think is a really smart hire from just the type of mind that you get in him.
Yeah, and let's think about the experience, how much experience you had with Brian Daboll and everything he had, to now Ken Dorsey, who is first year calling plays in the NFL. He has Joe Brady, who did call plays for a year and a half in the NFL. But now you add that layer of a guy with a lot more experience who can be a part of that room. And I think that's very important. What did Sean McDermott do when he was hired as the Bills head coach? One of the first moves he made was he hired Leslie Frazier as his defensive coordinator. And that was also clearly a move to make sure I have someone next to me and in my room with me who's been through this, mm-hmm. who has seen it all, who I can lean on, who provides me that perspective and that experience that maybe I haven't seen something. There's an issue that comes up, how to deal with something. You have that. I think Mike Shula provides that for Ken Dorsey and Joe Brady.
I think really cool this offense is going to look just behind the scenes, behind the curtain, yes. Who's helping with this offense, I think is some fascinating names, some really cool people. Really interested to see how it looks on the field once we get to that first week one game. All right, break time for us. Don't go anywhere. We will be back here on When Bills Live. We're presented by Kaleida Health on Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back into One Bills Live as we begin to close out the show here. We still got a couple callers hanging on the phone line, so we'll go right to the phone lines here. Chuck from Chicago joins us. Chuck, how are you doing today?
Hey, great, Maddie. How are you? How are you, Sal?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for calling.
Hey, big fans of both of you. I've called in a few times. Grew up in Western New York, but lived in Chicago for 30 years. But still always come home for a game or two. And I love both of your responses in terms of what's going to happen to Josh Allen, and agree with you. And I just think it's such a great question, because also a third one that I thought of was just the addition of Roger Safford as well as O.J. Howard. Because you think of what that does to our offense in terms of versatility, and should be able to help our run game. But then even if you think about going off balance, and if you have Knox and O.J. on the field, and Dawkins, and then Zafford along with, their center, then that just makes the team just so much stronger in terms of options that they can do.
Yeah, you know, Roger Saffold, he does add a lot, obviously, and, you know, you can do a few things off balance. But I do love the point about O.J. Howard being on the field with Dawson Knox, because, Chuck, I think we're going to see more of that this year. Just from reading the tea leaves, I think we're going to see tight ends more often this year. That's right.
We've heard it talked about by the coaching staff a little bit, too, when we've asked questions, kind of pointed out, are you going to use two tight ends? So I think that would be something fun to see. Do you think O.J. Howard can also be a game changer, or somebody who can help out Josh Allen in the passing game as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the passing game, when you have two tight ends on the field, who are they going to decide they're going to cover? And even his ability with screen passes, I think that I think he's going to be a great asset.
Awesome. Chuck, thank you so much for the call. Great insight, a great answer as well. Offensive line, you can never have too many offensive linemen. As we both know, the Bills are always searching for offensive linemen. And especially with how we saw last season go, they finally found some consistency there toward the end of the season. But you're always searching for more guys. Mitch Morse had a great year last year. Him and Deion Dawkins were about the most consistent you could get in terms of guys who are in the lineup week after week.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is I think a year ago we sat here, Maddie, and I was definitely one who thought maybe 1 year left to Mitch Morse. They tweaked his contract a little bit. He was kind of going into the I think he had the 1 year left, and then basically they redid it. But either way, it seemed like he had taken like a bit of a pay cut, and he even explained like it wasn't just straight like that. There were other things that went into it, but it felt like maybe they were setting up to move on from him. And here we are a year later going, that dude was he was great. Like, he had a really good season. He was so consistent. As you said, he stayed healthy all year, which was great for him, obviously. But I think he means a lot to Josh Allen. You talk about helping Josh Allen. Keeping Mitch Morse in the fold on the contract extension is a big move this team has made as well. That's a big deal for him.
Yeah, the two are going to go into their fourth season together, I want to say.
And Deion just came out at the end of the year incredibly as well.
Gosh, yeah, he really did. To see those two have a great season, I think, is super important for this offensive line. I think Roger Saffold is going to add a veteran presence. He's very consistent as well, so hopefully the Bills can get what they need out of him on that offensive line, and hope for that position group that, you know, you see the same five all season long. I feel like since they kind of have drafted and added guys through free agency starting in 2019, we really haven't seen a consistent five because of injuries and other things. So maybe this season we luck out and get it. We know offensive linemen, it's hard to be healthy all season long with what they're asked to do and what they have to do every single day and every week on game day. We've got another caller who's been hanging on the line, Joe from Buffalo. Joe, you're on with us. What player do you want to talk about?
Hi, Sal.
Hi.
In terms of the question of the day, Duke Johnson, terrific back. Saw him play at Miami, seen him in the pros. Fast, elusive, can run between the tackles, and terrific hands. coming out of the backfield. I think he's really going to help Josh out when you need to go to a back. And I think it was a great pickup. I know they were disappointed not to get the back from Washington, but Duke Johnson is as good as him, if not better. And I think it was a great pickup, and I really do think it's going to help Josh.
All right, thanks for the call, Joe. Yeah, Duke Johnson, they needed to get somebody at that position, and I think he can add in the running game as well as the passing game. He's had some good years in the NFL. I mean, he's been the NFL since 2015, recently spent time with the Miami Dolphins. He did only play in 5 games with the Miami Dolphins, racked up 330 rushing yards, had 3 rushing touchdowns, only had 41 receiving yards off 4 catches. But he's going to be somebody who's going to be able to compete in the running backs room there. I mean, we see different running backs, or we saw different running backs on this field quite a bit last season. I mean, we saw a healthy dose of Zach Moss and Devin Singletary, and I think more guys in that room helps out that position group as a whole. It helps out Josh Allen as a whole. I've said this multiple times. I never think you're going to have a true crazy, the running back is the focal point of your offense type of player, because that's not what the Buffalo Bills are. And I think Duke Johnson fits into maybe what the Buffalo Bills need. And it'll be fun to see him compete with the other guys in that room.
I agree. You know, they were disappointed when they didn't get J.D. McKissick.
Yeah.
And then here comes Duke Johnson. And if you look, believe it or not, Duke Johnson's a month younger than J.D. McKissick. Like, they're right. But the difference is that J.D. McKissick's been, you know, more of a high performer the last few years, where Duke Johnson did the majority of his really good work early in his career, and he's had some injuries and things like that. But I will tell you, I think Duke Johnson has a chance to be kind of the poster child for, you come to Buffalo, into their weight room, into their facility, their training staff,
like,
and their culture. I think that this guy can absolutely have a resurgence and get back to what he was a few years ago when he was in Cleveland and he was catching a lot of passes out of the backfield. I mean, you think about it. This guy had, his first 3 years in the league, 61, 53, and 74 receptions. And even after that, he was in the 40s, basically. I think he can be that guy for them. Yes, they wanted a player like they targeted J.D. McKissick. We know that. Brandon Bean was upset the way it all went down. He said, it's a player we targeted. But boy, a good consolation prize, finger quotes if you're listening on radio, is a guy like Duke Johnson, who's actually been more productive in his career, just hasn't done it the last couple of years. And I think that he can get into this facility and he can go back to what he was.
And how important is it to have a type of player like that who can catch balls of the backfield, who can be that dump off target for Josh Allen? That's a lot of the times last season how we saw this offense get going against tougher defenses. It was Josh deciding to take what the defense gave him, which usually it was those short routes. It was handing the ball off to open up the offense to then hit guys like Stephon Diggs and Dawson Knox when the defense adjusted to Josh playing some of the short game. I think that is so important to how this offense operates. I think you need players like Duke Johnson. You need players like Isaiah McKenzie. You need your slot receivers. You need your running backs in this offense to have it work how it needs to work.
No doubt about it. And you could pick so many players about who's going to be, like, the most important for Josh, is our question of the day is. There's no doubt about that. And I do think that it provided a window into what the Bills are thinking about their offense. When you think about, they targeted McKissick, they didn't get him. Then they target Duke Johnson. They're looking for that guy, right, Matt? I mean, they're looking for that guy who, look, Devin Singletary, that's not his forte. He can do it. He can catch the ball to the backfield. That's not what he's known for. It's not what they're going to be asking him to do. I think we're going to see quite a bit of Duke Johnson on the field. I think the way – this is not going to be a Matt Breida situation, I guess, where I think a lot – even going into last year, I thought, oh, Matt Breida, a nice player, maybe they add
quick.
The speed. Right. I think they have a plan for Duke Johnson to play and to put him on the field and to be that guy who catches balls out of the backfield. Whereas to me, Matt Breida was more of a – hey, when we get a chance, we need some speed, we can game plan it. It seems to me like Duke Johnson's more of the guy that they actually feel he can have a legitimate role on this team.
I like that. A sneaky name to watch out for this season is Duke Johnson. All right, we've got one more caller on the phone line. Mark from West Seneca, you are on with us. Mark, what would you like to talk about today?
Real quick, I got 2 thoughts.
Yeah.
The first one's a little bit out of the box.
Let's go.
I think we have an addition by subtraction for Josh Allen. Obviously, the veteran guys they put in the game planning room is huge. But Brian Daboll leaving, I believe gives Josh Allen the opportunity to grow on and off the field in respect that he can really take control and take charge of what's going on around him, both in the game planning room and on the field. Not that he couldn't with Dable here, but I think he looked at Dable more as a mentor, and he's going to listen and listen. This is going to give him an opportunity to really spread his wings and really be good. Because I think that's the last step Josh has to take. Not that he's not a good field general now, but I just want to see a confidence and a total control of everything around Josh, from Josh, moving forward. And then the other quick thought I have is about the draft. I don't know why there isn't more urgency being put on cornerback for us right now, because you guys can tell me, beyond Cam Lewis and Dane Jackson, do they have a viable guy on the roster anywhere that could literally step on the field and play if they need an outside corner? Because I'm not confident that Tre'Davious is going to be ready. And if he is, it may be mid-season to the end of the season if he becomes truly Tre'Davious again, or at all. There's no guarantees. And, you know, so outside of that, you know, we've got a seventh-round draft pick, and I believe Lewis was an undrafted free agent we signed. So, I mean, to me, this draft is screaming cornerback, 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 right in number one pick. So I just want to hear what you guys have to say about that.
Thanks for the call, Mark. Appreciate it. I'll go quick with the first part of that question/comment. I think the offense will be interesting without Brian Daboll, but I do think Josh Allen is forever thankful for what Brian Daboll did for his career. I think Josh Allen would not be the quarterback that he is today without Brian Daboll, and I think there was an open line of communication to where if Josh wanted to add something in the offense, he could go to Brian Daboll and be like, yo, Dabes, I want to do X, Y, Z, or I feel comfortable here in this situation, and Brian Daboll would listen. I think that's something that you don't get with an offensive coordinator always. And I think that's something that will be passed down to Ken Dorsey. And I think it's something we've already heard that Ken Dorsey does, based on what Stephon Diggs said of talking about running these types of routes and what his opinion is on those routes or in whatever game they were talking about. So I think it'll be intriguing to watch how Josh Allen grows or watch how he changes without Brian Daboll. But I think Brian Daboll is forever going to be a guy who Josh Allen looks back to, especially in the beginning of his career, and is really happy that he had Brian Daboll by his side.
And I think lots of Bills fans share your concern on corner, on second corner. But I will say this. I think the team feels a little differently about it than the fans do by the fact that Brandon Bean even said, it's not like we're waking up every day saying we need a corner. I think they're going to let this sort out, and they feel a little bit better about it. But I do agree that it is right there screaming at you as a possibility at number 25.
Yeah, we'll see. Number 25, who's going to be available for the Buffalo Bills? Don't go anywhere. Break time for us. When we come back, we're closing things out here at One Bills Live. We're presented by Kaleida Health on Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Maddie Glav alongside Sal Capaccio. We've just got a couple minutes left. Took a bunch of phone calls in our last segment. Maybe we can take one from the tweet sheet before we sign off. So I'll read off from Jack. He said, re-signing Diggs to a new big contract and keeping him happy and linked to Allen for years to come, also keeping the very underrated Isaiah McKenzie in the fold, adding Crowder in the slot and OJ Howard for multiple tight end formations. Diggs is an interesting point. I don't think you needed Diggs immediately, but I do think re-signing him does help Josh Allen for next season.
I think it's also The thought of knowing he's with you for that long, right? It calms you down a little bit. Like, you don't have to worry about anything going sideways with that, right? Diggs is here for a long time. Yeah. I got my partner here, and they're tied together through 2027, which is awesome. So I think that's that is a very good answer for the big picture as well.
Yeah, I really agree. I think Isaiah McKenzie also in that answer is a great part of the answer. I think he's going to add to this offense. I know he feels highly motivated to turn things up a notch as we head into this season. No more Cole Beasley. That's going to be an opportunity for Isaiah McKenzie to step up. Jamison Crowder, of course, there as well. He's had a great career in the NFL. Two guys who will bring some competition to that spot. I think Josh Allen is set up really nicely for 2022, which is what Brandon Bean always wants to do, put pieces around Josh Allen to make sure Josh succeeds.
No doubt about it. And we know how important the communication is in the quarterback room. Sean McDermott has hammered it. He's talked about it a lot. Goes back to the caller, Mike Shula. They add Joe Brady, people like that. Mm-hmm. Case Keenum, Matt Barkley. They're all important to this organization right now.
Names for days. All right, that's going to do it for us here on One Bills Live. We thank you for tuning in. We've got Bruce Feldman coming on at 2 o'clock tomorrow. We'll be back. See you guys later.